We are continuing the book, Once Upon a Journey, Volume 1, by Rabbi Zalman Ruderman. We are up to Chapter 37. False Humility. Baruch felt the need to wander away from everyone and spend some time thinking things over on his own. He went for a walk and soon found himself entering the nearby forest. There, between the tall trees, and with the sound of birds chirping merrily as they built nests in the treetops and flew between the branches, he stopped to rest and think. Feeling tired, he lay down on a patch of soft, springy grass. He remembered one of the three conditions that he had given Reb Avram when the farmer first suggested his daughter for a shidduch. Baruch had insisted that after his marriage, his home would serve as a welcoming shelter for the Nesterim, traveling through the area. On the one hand, Baruch thought to himself, Reb Avram agreed to my condition. In that case, perhaps I should not be worried. On the other hand, what will I do if after my marriage I discover that he was influenced by his Rav to fight the Nesterim? Perhaps he will use the opportunity to cause him trouble. Baruch! A familiar voice rang out in the forest. What are you doing here? Baruch looked up to see Yitzchak Shaul stepping out from between the trees towards him with his usual good-natured smile. What am I doing here? Replied Baruch in surprise. Perhaps you could tell me what you are doing here. A serious look flashed across Yitzchak Shaul's face for a moment, but then his smile returned. I saw you spending hours talking with my brother-in-law, he began, and you seemed quite interested in what he had to say. I only hope, he said jokingly, that he has not influenced you with his negative views on the simple Jews and the Nesterim. But seriously, he explained, I came because I saw you leaving the house looking like you were very troubled by something. I was worried about you and decided to follow you here. Baruch leaned on a tree stump and looked at his friend in gratitude. I really appreciate you worrying about me, he replied. I have no words to describe how much your friendship means to me. Baruch then explained exactly what was bothering him. If you truly honestly wish to follow the path of the Nesterim and to attach yourself to our Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, said Yitzchak Shaul, then you must remove every trace of sadness right now. We, the followers of the Baal Shem Tov, consider depression to be Avodah Zarah. Just as you would never think of worshipping Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom, so it is forbidden to let yourself sink into sadness. With Yitzchak Shaul at his side, Baruch forgot about his worries for a while. They were soon lost in a discussion filled with stories that showed the difference between the joy of the Hasidim and the bitterness typical of those who are against him. For example, said Yitzchak Shaul, look at the difference between the way water is drawn for Mayim Shalanu, the water used to bake matzahs in Erev Pesach, here in Deborah Missel, and back in my hometown of Harki. You cannot begin to compare the two events. Here, everyone sees it as a simple job that must be done in order to bake the matzahs. We need water for the matzahs? Okay, so let someone go and get some for us. The Hasidim in Harki, however, look at it very differently. Mayim Shalanu is a mitzvah celebration bursting with joy and life. Most of the residents of Harki take part. Even the elderly Rav of Harki, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who, by the way, is now 96 years old, makes a point of coming to the edge of the river to take part in the communal celebration. The last time I spent Erev Pesach in Harki, the Rav found it difficult to stand on his feet. Nevertheless, he insisted on being brought in a carriage. He even collected the water with his own two hands. Of course, they had to hold him carefully as he stepped on the heavy wooden planks that they put beside the river for that occasion. Rav Pesach the Frenchman put on his high boots and waded into the river to help the Rav. Once the Rav finished drawing water, he blessed everyone present that they should merit to see Mashiach and the complete redemption. He then burst into a cheerful niggun and everyone joined in. By the side of the river, all the Jews of Harki sang together with heartfelt joy. That is how the drawing of Mayim Shalanu is done in Harki. Here in Deborah Missel, on the other hand, even Simchas Torah is not celebrated with true happiness. During last year's Simchas Torah, I began singing and dancing with all my strength. I drew people into a dancing circle that I had formed with the help of some laborers, good-hearted, uneducated Jews. You would not believe what happened next. The town's greatest scholars began heated debate among themselves. Their question was, is it permitted for a Talmud Chacham to let go of himself and rejoice with such joy and dance? Is he not damaging the honor of his and their Torah knowledge by doing so? Baruch was fascinated by Yitzchak Shaul's descriptions that clearly showed the differences between the two approaches to Torah and Jewish life. Believe me, said Yitzchak Shaul, trying to stop himself from laughing out loud at the memory, what happened after that was one of the most hilarious sights I have ever seen. Reb Chaim Shimon, the oven maker, decided to test the true humility of Dabramisl's finest scholars. Before the seventh of Hakafa, Reb Chaim Shimon whispered in my ear, pay attention to what I'm about to do. Giving me a mischievous smile, he approached the gabbai. A few moments later, I heard the gabbai announce, all the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, especially those who are humble, are honored with carrying a Sefer Torah. The gabbai said this sincerely without thinking twice. I realized that Reb Chaim Shimon had asked him to make this announcement. The gabbai was a simple person who did not realize that Reb Chaim Shimon had a deeper reason for this request. Well, what do you think happened? You no doubt imagine that no one stood up and approached Aaron Kodesh to collect a Sefer Torah, right? To my great amusement, the first to hurry to collect the Sefer was none other than the Rav himself. After him came the Dayan. Third in line was Reb Shimon Sagi Nahar, and he was followed by Reb Nachum the Parish. Reb Chaim Shimon looked at me from the other side of the shul. He was grinning from ear to ear. Oh, how humble these scholars showed themselves to be. But Reb Chaim Shimon wasn't done yet. He had another trick up his sleeve. Just as Reb Nachum the Parish passed him to collect the Sefer Torah, Reb Chaim Shimon stepped into his way and said, oh, now I know that you are the fourth most humble person in Dabramisl, because there are three people ahead of you already holding Sefer Torah. The Parish looked at him angrily. What chutzpah, he yelled. What absolute chutzpah. Why, I have no doubt that if they would have called us up by name instead of making a general announcement, I would have been the first on the list. Yitzchak Shaul's story brought a broad smile to Baruch's lips. Nevertheless, he felt that he was still too young and inexperienced. He needed more time and had much to learn before he could choose a path to follow for the rest of his life. He decided to keep his eyes and ears open to what was going on around him and to think things over deeply. He was confident that in the end, Hashem would guide him to the path that was best for him.